Our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. Father, we come before you, Lord. We do give you thanks for who you are and what you've done. We thank you, Lord, so much for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be our Advocate, to be our Defense Attorney, to be our Shepherd, our Teacher, our Guide. We thank you so much for these things, Father, and help us to be grateful for all your benefits, everything you provide for us on a day-by-day basis. Thank you for your word. Thank you for like-minded believers in the body of Christ. And help us to rejoice in your goodness as we open up the Word of God this evening. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 100, a very brief song. Verses 1 through 5, I thought we'll do something a little different this evening. I'm going to read out of the commentary of J. Vernon McGee. I was reading here earlier today, and I think he has some very insightful comments on the 100th song. Let's just read together the song first. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who had made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Everything about that, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we above all people should be joyful. We should be joyful. And that's why this psalm begins with to make a joyful shout to the Lord. And he says, all the earth. All the earth. All the earth is a benefactor of the goodness of God in creation. Think about Genesis chapter 1, and when God created the earth, and after each day he said it was good. It was good. And then finally he said, after he created man, it's very good. It's very good. God showed his goodness and his care for his creatures. You ever think about that? And so all the nations should shout joyfully to that Creator God. And then this demands our Christian service. Serve the Lord with gladness. Just pause at that phrase. How many people serve the Lord with drudgery? Oh no, I have to do this. Another thing on my plate. I have to go to church. I have to read my Bible. I have to do this. You know, why do we serve the Lord out of drudgery? Something is wrong, because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Galatians 5. And if we're walking by means of the Spirit, it should be a privilege to serve that Creator. Think about the privilege of serving the President. If you were called to serve the Commander-in-Chief, what an honor. What an honor. What about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you see it as an honor to serve him? I think we should. We should serve him with gladness. We don't need to serve the Lord with drudgery. That's legalism. When we understand grace, it should produce joy in our hearts. And then come before his presence with singing. Notice, singing from the basis of joy. Joy. And singing is a reflection of worship. And even in the New Testament, we see in the book of Ephesians that we are to sing with joy to the Lord, and we are to sing understanding God's grace. Let's take a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And he speaks about being filled with the Spirit in verse 18, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. As we emphasized this before, this is a continual filling. Filling ministry of the Spirit of God is ongoing. But out of that filling, the Spirit controls you, joy and peace flows, and then we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice connected to what? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. Singing and giving thanks. It's an expression of praise. It flows out of thanksgiving. Singing about our Creator God and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when you're feeling depressed and sad, I think sometimes it's good to have good Christian music on. Hymns that reflect the character of God. You need to meditate on who He is or read through a hymnal. Every Christian should own a hymnal. And should have spend time to look at that and read through it. Think about the words. Think about the nature and character of God. And sing to Him. You know, so many records sold every year. Millions of dollars are made for artists. Millions and even billions of dollars. And people listen to music on the radio. And they have records and they have CDs. What about good Christian music? Do we invest in any time listening to good Christian music? I think we should. I think we know that most of the songs, all the songs as a matter of fact, have been put to music. Think about the very song that we're reading was sung in the nation of Israel. Also, Isaac Watts in modern day has written music for every one of the psalms. I saw Isaac Watts' hymnal, 150 songs, and they're all put to music. And so this very song was put to music about the character of God. Come before His presence with singing. And people that don't, I understand not having a talented voice, but doesn't say if you have a talented voice. We can come before His presence with singing. We can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. One day we'll have a glorified body and our singing will be perfect. Perfect. And singing will be part of our worship of God throughout eternity. You ever think about that? That's a major part. Worshiping God is singing to Him. And so we come before His very presence singing praises to Him. Think about that. If no one else is around, we sing corporately to Him, but individually we can sing to God. Knowing that what? Singing has content. Knowing that the Lord, He is God. We know His divine character. We know that He is the Creator God. He is sovereign over the universe and over us. We know that He created us for a purpose. We are made in His image. In verse 3, it is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. You ever hear someone who says, I'm a self-made man. I earned this with the sweat of my brow. I deserve this. I worked hard. I did all these things. And we cannot do nothing apart from what God has given to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, right? James 1:17. Comes down from the Father of lights in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow turning. I did it. I did it. No, it is He who made us. Let's not be arrogant. Let's remind ourselves of the Creator God that created us in His image, has given us strength and ability to do His will, and not we ourselves. And the beautiful part about it is we are, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the nation of Israel had a relationship to God. We have a relationship as a shepherd and to sheep with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in John 10:10 called Himself the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We are his sheep. Ba-ba. We are his sheep. We're his people. If you're born again, you're saved, you belong to him. We used to sing a song, "Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me." And it's not for just merely a few hours or days or years, but throughout all eternity. I belong to him. I belong to him. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Aren't you glad when you read, especially in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice and know me," in John 10, 27, 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall pluck them out of my hand." You know, how many does the shepherd lose? None. The shepherd loses none. We're part of his sheep permanently. We have that eternal relationship with him. We belong to him. And that means we're under his protective watchful eye. You ever think about what the job of a shepherd is? To guard the sheep. To feed the sheep. To protect the sheep. To look out for the welfare and benefit of the sheep. God does that for us. We are his people. We belong to him. We're part of the family of God. And we're the sheep of his pasture. He takes care of us. That's why we had that greatest song. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm 23. "I shall not" what? "Lack anything. I shall not want." Think about that. "He maketh me lie down beside green water, or still waters, green pastures. He leads my soul beside still waters. He restored my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For," why? "Thou art with me," right? "Thy rod and staff, they comfort me." Even when he has to discipline and correct, it's for our benefit. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of this life." You believe that? No, when we all get to heaven, we'll be joyful. Well, what about this life? "Surely goodness in this life and mercy shall follow me all the days of this life. And then on top of that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's being taken care of by the shepherd. And Jesus Christ is our shepherd. He died for us. He gave himself for us. We are under his care, under his watchful eye, under his protection. You know what? The shepherd always has an awareness of the sheep, even when they wander astray. Even when they get caught in the thorns, or are in the dangerous cliff, or out alone by themselves. The shepherd always knows, especially the good shepherd. And he goes out, and sometimes the shepherd has to lead the 99 and go after the one. You remember that in Luke 15. Even the parable of the prodigal son, we got along with the lost sheep. It's interesting, a lost coin, lost sheep, and lost son. And all meant were to teach how Jesus goes after his own. Even when they go astray. Notice here in verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." Here, speaking of the temple gates. And this is where sacrifices were offered. And there are various offerings, some for sin or atonement, others just for thanksgiving. "I just want to thank God today, so I'm going to take a ram or a lamb or an animal from my flock, and I'm going to give to God. Thank you, God. I'm going to go to the temple, and here it is." This is a thank you for a good God. There were thank offerings, and they weren't forced to do those. Think about that. It's of our volition. And, you know, God should not have to twist our arm to give him thanks. When we go to his courts, we should go into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Let's modernize that. We should enter into church with a thankful heart. A thankful heart. And he says, into his courts with what? Praise. That's worship. Praise you, God. Praise you for who you are. Your divine sovereignty, your majesty, your omnipotence, your omniscience, your omnipresence, your greatness, your goodness, your mercy, your love. Thank you, God. Thank you. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Name refers to his character, so his essence. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And we can go through the compound names of God and go down through his character. I think sometimes it's a good Bible lesson to go back. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, go back over in Genesis, the names of God and what each name means. And it's profound. And go over the character of God. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Why? Why should we bless his name? Once again, he reminds us of God's goodness. For the Lord is good. Is God good all the time? Yes. All the time, God is good, right? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. His mercy is only for a little while. I don't know what translation you're reading, but mine says his mercy is everlasting. Never stops. You ever think of God's mercy does not end? It never stops. Sometimes we think we run out of mercy. God giving us what we don't deserve. I don't deserve this. The next day, I don't deserve this, Father. You give again. There's one other hymn used to sing in a choir. And the line goes like this. He giveth, and he giveth, and he giveth again. Right? Does the giving ever stop with God? No. No. Just by the fact you woke up this morning and breathed life, breathed air, you woke up alive. Now, you may have woken up with some ailments and sores and this and that as your body ages, but you're alive. Well, God's mercy is still alive. You know, in Lamentations 3:22, when Jeremiah is looking over the city of Jerusalem, horrible condition, city's on fire, you know, and all that national, during that time of great national crisis. In the middle of all that, we see a strange verse. His mercy is new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. It's not dependent on our circumstances, is it? God's mercy is not dependent on our circumstances. Sometimes God allows us to go through things so he can show that he is faithful. We were just discussing that, Penny and I, about a person we know. God's allowing that person to go through some difficult times. Why? To show that he is faithful. God is faithful. He's revealing something about his character. Job says, I've heard you with the hearing of the ear. I got this academic understanding that God is good. But you know what? Now my eye sees you. Now I know that you are. Now I know that you are a faithful God. Now I know that you are holy. Now I know that you are sovereign. God has to permit that so we learn something about his character. This is real. This is where it should be practical. This is where it's life. His mercy is everlasting. It's new every morning. And you know what? His truth. You know, I love the word of God because it says it is true. Psalm 119:105. God's word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what we need. Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. His truth endures to, notice this, all generations. You know, you always look at the next generation, you wonder, why aren't there individuals enthusiastic about Christianity? His truth is still there. His truth hasn't changed. The problem is people don't want to receive the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to embrace the truth. It takes faith. But it doesn't mean that God has stopped being truthful and God has stopped being faithful and God has stopped being kind or loving to the next generation. Every generation. Why? Because God does not change. See, his character. God's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's truthful. His truth endures to every single generation. Our generation, the generation to come, and their generation. It will continue to be there. Truth is truth. It's not relative. God hasn't changed his standards. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. And that's the problem. We need to believe. We need to believe. So this is a great hymn of thanksgiving. I want to share Dr. McGee and his comments on Psalm 100. This song is the grand finality of wonderful little cluster of songs that began with Psalm 94 and closes with this song. In this section, we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ as King. Jehovah is King. In Psalm 93, we saw that the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. Psalm 93:1. This phrase speaks of the future and the time that the Lord will come again to the earth. The first time he came to the earth, he did not come in majesty. He came, as George MacDonald put it, a little baby that made a woman cry. He is coming to earth the next time, as we are told in the psalm, clothed with majesty. Psalm 94:1 begins, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs. When the Lord comes to earth again, he will make things right. We could not do it because we would be vindictive. The Lord will not reign that way. He will vindicate, but he will not be vindictive. Then Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 97, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Psalm 98, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Psalm 99, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Now we come to the great doxology, Psalm 100. This is the hallelujah chorus at the conclusion of this series. It is the glorious finale of this very precious cluster of songs. Listen to it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. Once again, I would emphasize the fact that God does not want you to come before him to worship with a long face. There are times when we have long faces, problems beset us, temptations overcome us, or we come to God in repentance, asking him for forgiveness. We cast ourselves upon him, but none of that is worship. You worship God when you come to praise him. He wants you to be happy. At the time of this writing, most of the bars had what is called a happy hour. I wish we had a happy hour in church without the liquid. Let's tune up and get ready to worship the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That includes everybody. This is universal praise. There is a time coming when the entire world will be able to sing, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is a wonderful song of praise. Praise him, worship him, glorify him. Now that I am a retired preacher, I find myself being an expert on telling young pastors how they should conduct their services. There's one criticism I want to make concerning my own ministry, and that is that I did not have enough praise included in the services. We ought to praise God more. We ought to worship God more. We ought to come joyfully into His presence. This song is just like a great doxology. There are many doxologies in the Word of God. Believers can sing the one in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has been good to us. He has given us all spiritual blessings, but some do not avail themselves. We are keeping them in cold storage, waiting for a rainy day. Well, it is a rainy day today, regardless of how bright the sun is shining. Start using the blessing God has for you. Here's another wonderful doxology in the first chapter of Revelation. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. My, I don't know about you, but that just carries me into the clouds. The whole world is called upon to shout aloud their praises unto Jehovah and to sing the mighty Hallelujah chorus, because in that day the whole world will know Him. And this next verse is something quite interesting. The homogenizing of God as a creator and as a redeemer. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. There are a lot of people who do not know that the Lord is God. Many Christians are not aware of this fact. In the early Christian church, when the first persecutions broke out, the apostles came back to the church in Jerusalem and reported what was happening. Their report moved the church to pray, and they began their prayer by saying, Lord, Thou art God. Acts 4:24. Someone says, this is easy. Yes, but the question is, do you believe it today? There are many Christians who act as if He is not God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God is the Creator. We ought to worship Him because He is the Creator. He made this universe. Not only do we worship Him as Creator, but we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How do you become a sheep? You must be redeemed. This is the case where the shepherd died for the sheep. The sheep did not die for the shepherd. What sheep are being talked about in the song? The sheep are Israel. The Lord is their shepherd too. The Lord Jesus told them that He had other sheep that were not part of the flock of Israel. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they must hear my voice, and there must be one fold and one shepherd. John 10:14-16. The Lord is the shepherd of Israel. He is also my shepherd and yours, if we belong to Him. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. This is the way God wants you to come into His presence. Someone told me the other day that he attended the services of one of the great churches of the past and had never witnessed a place that was so dead. Do you know what the problem was? People were not coming to church with praise in their hearts. I think that's so true. They did not come to the service with thankfulness in their hearts to God. They did not enter His gates with thanksgiving. If you go to church on Sunday to worship, make sure you go with thanksgiving and praise in your heart. If you fail to do that, you are not going to be very helpful to your church. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I don't know where you are or why you are or I don't know who you are or why you are or where you are, but I do know that God is good to you, and he's good to me. Oh, how good he is. His mercy is everlasting. He hasn't run out of it. Perhaps since he extended so much mercy to me, you thought he had exhausted his supply. He hasn't. He has a lot left over for you. His mercy is everlasting. Like the flour in the barrel that belonged to the widow that Elijah helped, it never runs out. His truth endured to all generations. My, what a great song of praise this is. And I agree. And we're going to close with just a word of thanksgiving. I'm going to give a word of thanksgiving and prayer, and let's each thank God. I know we have our petitions, but let's enter into his courts with thanksgiving. And we can go to the throne room of grace to thank him as well as request things. So we'll give you a time to just thank God in prayer and praise. I'll begin. Father, we come before you and we do enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. And remind us, Lord, of who you are and what you have done and the fact that you are good. We belong to you. What a great thing. We belong to a good shepherd. We belong to a good God. A God who knows our hearts, who knows all our needs, and who cares and loves us. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us eternal life, for giving us physical life, for giving us strength, for providing for us, for giving us a roof over our head so we don't have to sleep out in the cold. Thank you for the food that you provide, for our family, our friends, our wives, our spouses, our loved ones. Thank you so much, our children. Those are blessings that you provide. Thank you for this body here. Thank you for the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we might be grateful, that we might be a body that's thankful and bless your holy name more often because you deserve it more. Continue to strengthen us, Lord, and help us to see your goodness and give thanks for all things. Because we know it's part of your plan and will, Lord. Thank you for the food that you provide and all the blessings that you'll continue to provide out of your mercy and goodness. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Who is always there for us, taking care of us and providing. Lord, we thank you for our church family that you have given to us, each one so precious, so different, and yet so precious, Lord, to us, so supportive, eager to learn the Word of God with us and through us. We thank you for each one of them. We pray that they may spend time in thanksgiving and praise to you. Just start to count their blessings and to realize how great and faithful you have been to them throughout this year. have done and to give you great thanks and honor to you and what you have done for us. Not so much what you've done for us, but to remind us, Father, what we to serve you and to honor you and come to you for all the things that that happen and that we know that you are in control, and it reminds us every morning